some wrong, but in every situation, God gave the blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word.
I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms, many storms He brought me through. If I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God would ever, ever do.
We appreciate that applause, but I tell you, something that I feel much more special about is something that's sung from the heart. And I know that, you know, I know that people go through trials and they go through tests and they go through things that just you don't have an answer for. But praise be unto God, I serve one that will always see me through. Many years ago, those old evangelists would stand up and say, "Brother, God never made a Holiday Inn in the valley." And I'd love to hear that. I would think about that. They say, I said, let me think. Oh, I get it. He never made a Holiday Inn in the valley. No, He is going to see you through. He is going to see you through whatever you are dealing with. So many times we get selfish. We want God to take us around, don't we? We want God to say, no. I don't want to go through this. No. Take me another way. Show me a different way. When God, what He is wanting to do in His wisdom, in His spirit, is to help you through. Help you through what you are dealing with. And the way we do that is we trust in His word. We trust what? In His, say it with me, trust in His word. So let's read God's word this morning. I'm reading out of the book of St. Matthew, and I'm going to read just old scriptures here and there and there and here and all. So if you're trying to follow me, you're going to have a tough time of it, because I got all kind of places to go in this verse that God has laid upon our hearts, talking a bit about parables. Now, what is a parable? A parable is nothing more than an illustration. It's what Jesus used. It's what Jesus used to allow the truth that He was speaking within His word to resonate within our hearts. So many times when somebody tells you something, it really doesn't register until something happens in your life that brings it into truth, brings you into a better, a more full understanding because of what has been spoken unto you or what somebody has said. So many times people say, well, I've dealt with this, I've dealt with that. But when you go deal with it yourself, you know, when you go through this thing yourself, you fully realize what somebody has been trying to share with you. And this morning, in reading in the 13th chapter in the book of St. Matthew, I'll start down about the 10th. Before that, Jesus, he's given a wonderful parable about the seed and the sower here. You'll remember this many times. It starts up in the third verse. Then he spoke many things to them in parables. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But then in the eighth verse here, so beautiful, but others fell on good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And that's kind of the funny thing about this scripture when it says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And it would even make the disciples scratch their head when they were listening to Jesus teaching like this. So finally, the disciples in the 10th verse, they ask him, the disciples came and said, why do you speak to them in parables? In the 11th verse, he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whosoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whosoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. This is pretty hard for the disciples. They're asking questions unto Jesus. Jesus, explain to me, why are you speaking to them in parables, in these illustrations? And then Jesus goes back, and what he does, he starts to quote Scripture. He's going back to Isaiah. I believe it's the sixth chapter, verses 9 and 10. And it says here, that says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. The hearts of this people have grown dull. How sad it is when our hearts grow dull. You say, now what is that? Nobody ever uses that phrase, your heart growing dull. Sure, the understanding here, and you see it every day. You see people who simply do not have a grasp on what is going on in their life, or what God has in store for their future, because their trust is not in Him. Their hearts have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I, talking about God, I should or would hear. Heal them. The understanding of God's Word is a gift from Him. And we as believers, we see this. We hear the Word being read. We hear songs that are being sung. When we sing a song, that's a beautiful rendition of that verse, that, you know, many, many mountains, many valleys. Oh, what a wonderful truth we find in a song. In a song that is sung unto the precious name of Jesus. When we understand that, we hear it, it resonates within our hearts, because, folks, we've been there. All of you, each one, if I ask you, could stand up, raise your hand, and tell me a time in your life where God has seen you through. God has seen you through. But then we contrast that with the unbeliever out there who simply doesn't hear, doesn't see, and doesn't understand. Now, what is our attitude about that? Do we puff ourselves up, feeling more spiritual, feeling more church than those who don't believe? No, no, no. The greatest bumper sticker that I have ever read, not perfect, just forgiven. Not perfect. You might like that one, honk if you love Jesus. I don't know. That's not a favorite of mine, but if you want to honk, some people like to just want a reason to blow their horn. That's what they do. I always saw when that one come out, I said, oh my goodness, here are these people just going to blow their horns. But I like the one, it's not perfect, simply forgiven. Forgiven of a life. I like that. There we go. I was here on the Sunday morning when it all went dark. You got it. We've got it on the table. Nothing else about bumper stickers will we say this morning. Oh, my goodness. Boy, if you can't feel good in church, where can you feel good at, right? Amen, amen. Believing by faith. Somebody run outside and check, see if there's a big storm cloud. Oh, no. Jesus spoke to them in these parables. He used illustrations because they simply didn't understand when they were spoken directly to. And most of the people that he was speaking to should know better. And you have the same thing when you deal with people and they're having a struggle and they have things within your lives. So many times you'll realize that, you know what? They know what they should do. They just haven't found the power. They haven't found the willingness to trust in someone greater than themselves for the answer. And just because we've been fortunate enough to be called of God, to be allowed to open our ears and open our eyes and fully understand what He is trying to tell us, does not mean that we are any better than anyone else. Now, you can honk your horns if you want to and all like that. Just don't cut the lights off again on us over there. Don't do that. But that's what we're trying to explain. So what is it about us that we rely upon? First of all, we look to God's Word. And God's Word here is so beautiful because it explains this parable. Jesus, even to the disciples, He said, you know, I got to explain it to them. So here's what He says. He says, and I'm reading down in the, I believe this is the 18th verse. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one, and who is the wicked one? Satan himself, comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. So many times, those that hear the word of God, Satan comes and immediately gives an excuse. Immediately comes and snatches away what's been laid in a person's heart. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But, and this is the 23rd verse here, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces hundredfold, some 60 and some 30. What is that good earth? What is that rich soil? And of those of you, and this is planting season, hopefully you've been out in the yards and you've been working on gardens or planting flowers or doing, I encourage each and every one of you, get your hands dirty sometime. You will not feel any better. You will not feel closer to this loving earth that God has given us if you simply get your hands dirty. Amen? Amen. And I like it. I like getting out there and getting into it and making a mess and all that. I love to take something and plant it. I even put a few more tomato plants. I don't care if they get one tomato. I'm still going to put them out there and I'm going to look at them. I may have some recipe for eating tomato plants instead of tomatoes. I don't know if I'll come up with something, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm still doing it because I enjoy the feel of rich soil in my hands. I like it. So what is that rich soil that we talk about here in God's Word, and how do we apply it to our desire to serve Him? I think that once we've come in, we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we've made a choice to be in a Bible-believing church that speaks the truth, that sings those old great hymns about the Master, I think that we have to challenge ourselves to develop
Christian habits. That's what I'm going to call it there, just habits. Now, I have a definition here. From Webster's Dictionary, a habit is an acquired pattern of behavior that has become almost involuntary as a result of frequent repetition. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Simply said, it's something that you do over and over and over and over again. We all hear about bad habits. We all hear about things that we shouldn't do. And oh, trust me, there are folks around you who will point out very quickly all of your bad habits. Amen to them. Makes them feel better. But there are always those who will kind of cut you down and tell you can't, and you shouldn't, and all those things. But what I'm talking about are good habits. Go ahead, Miss Lily, over here. You told me, bye. We've been praying for Rich, and we'd love to hear that great response on how he's doing with that shoulder. He's doing great. That's what we want to hear. Habits are something that we do over and over again and become within our lives as we're not even thinking about it. We're not even thinking about it. So many of you, you get in the car, first thing you do, take that seatbelt, put it in before you hear that bing, 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 or whatever kind of annoying noise that your car has at this time, because hopefully you formed that habit even without thinking about it. So many times you've got things programmed in you. So if we walk in and I walk into the office in the morning, the coffee pot is not filled, if it's not turned on, I think one of the guys has passed away. Because it's such a habit. Where I'm ready to send flowers to somebody if they come in and they didn't do. Why? Because it's habit. It's habit. Now, I'm not picking on Don here this morning. Don was good. We had the coffee going this morning, and the coffee was delicious. Delicious. Delicious, Don. It was delicious. But there's certain things that you just do by habit. Certain things that you just do by habit. Now, what are the things? And I have a little list here that I got out of a book, and I like it. If I can find the list over here, yeah, this is good. First of all, number one, make it a habit. Make it a habit of spending time with God. You got to do it. You have to make a habit of spending time with God. David, the one that God speaks of, being so close to my heart. David says, I speak to God in the morning. He would talk about in the morning. He would talk about at noon, in the evening. But David made a habit of spending time with God. There is nothing that is going to change your life, is going to change your attitude, is going to change your outlook, than simply opening up God's Word and reading that Word. I don't care if you read just a couple verses. I don't care if you read chapters or whole books. It doesn't matter how. You just have to open it up and get into God's Word. The ladies come out of that room and they're excited. Why? Because they have been in God's Word. On Wednesday night, we have people when they come to church. People walk in and say, well, you got almost many people on Wednesday night. Here's what you do on Sunday morning. I said, amen. You know why on Wednesday night we get into God's Word. We read His Word. Nothing will give you the power, something to stand on, than you simply making it a commitment to form a habit of getting into God's Word. Amen? Amen. Number two. Keep your conscience clear. How do I keep my conscience clear? What it is simply believing what God's Word, amen, bless Him, says about me. And what God's Word says about me, it says that all of my sins have been taken as far as the east is from the west. No more to be drummed up and thrown up in my face as the devil would want to. But I must read God's Word, I must place it within my heart, and I must clear my conscience of believing what God's Word says about me. If you have an altercation with a brother or sister, something that's bugging you, you know what it is? Something's bugging you. Get it off your chest. Get to the root of the problem. I am sorry if I have offended brother, sister. Just forgive me. Because I don't have time for it. And I know that you don't have time for it either if we are in the purpose of serving God. We must try to the best of our abilities to keep a clear conscience. Three, and I got a good little definition. I read this thing and I was enjoying this. See if I can find it. Yeah, this is a good part. Number three, you got to simply live by faith. Got to start living by faith. And I want to tell you, you at Mount Calvary, you inspire me every time I look out from this pulpit because I see people that are simply living by faith. Rich, if you kind of read between the lines this morning, you know this is a man saying, I am going to live by faith. Amen? Amen. Faith is a positive view of God and His ability and willingness to help us. That's a pretty simple statement, isn't it? But I like it so much, I'm going to read it again. Faith is a positive view of God and His ability and willingness to help us. I gotta have faith in God. I gotta believe that God is on my side. He will see me through it all. As the song we sang about just a little bit. My faith in God. If I make a habit of getting into His Word, I also make it a habit of clearing my conscience and believing without a shadow of a doubt that I am a child of the King. We sang this morning a little song we were practicing. Oh, yes, I'm a child of the King. And I love that song every time we sing it. I see guys, they're all over the place. They're just thinking because this is a song that is so simple. It is a simple truth that I am a child of the King. We start to believe that, and we make our faith and our belief in that a habit. Then we can go out boldly and start to live by faith. Living by faith. Somewhere in the study of God's Word, people get this thing of meekness and weakness. It's simply following God's will for your life. And I have seen in my life, the strongest individuals that I have known, the people that have filled the most bold individuals willing to stand up for what they believe, are simply people that have broken themselves and are willing to follow God, living by faith. The weakness is not that I have confidence in what I can do. My weakness is that I've simply handed it over to the Lord, and I am following His will for my life. I am living by faith. Number four, do your best. Sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? Sometimes you just got to decide, I'm going to do my best. I think you ought to do your best in anything you take off and try to do. I think when you walk in a restaurant, you ought to smile at the folks. Don't act like that servant mentality that some people I see them walk in, I was looking over and listening to another table, and they were barking out orders and stuff and what they wanted, and I said, oh my goodness, praise be unto God, and I think it's a privilege to walk in, to have a couple of dollars in your pocket and be able to order something. I like it when somebody else makes it for me, brings it to me, because it tastes a whole lot better when I do it myself. I feel that I have simply been blessed. Do the right thing. Put the cart back when you take it out at the store over there. I was at Home Depot, and I was trying to play dodgeball with carts on this parking lot. I said, oh, my goodness, why don't we just put them all away? You used it, and I put it away. Do right in the small things, and you'll be amazed how God will richly bless you in what you feel are the big things in your life. Because remember, to God, They're all big things when they're done for Him. Even the smallest little sip of water given His name, God sees and blesses. You got to practice peace. You got to be a peaceful individual. You know the opposite. You know somebody you start in, they're ready. They done figured out how they're going to argue and fight before you even start opening your mouth up. What do we have to do? We have to be known by our love one for another. We simply have to practice peace. And I think finally, and this is a thing that God is impressing upon me more and more personally, I think you have to live by discernment. What does that mean? Living by discernment. I think the things that we see, the things that we smell, the things we taste, the things we can physically hold on to are just a small portion of what God, through His Holy Spirit, is trying to do for us. I think you have to be led by that Spirit of God that is placed within you. I think you have to feel within your heart that, you know what? God's telling me I ought to do this. Or maybe I shouldn't do that. I think you have to live a life discerned by God's Holy Spirit working within you. You have to just say, you know what? God's just talking to me. He's talked to so many people around me. People have come to me with a special word saying, brother, I just want to tell you one thing. God laid it upon my heart, and I just want to share this with you. I say amen. Because people who are grounded in God's Word, believe what is said within this God's Word, who are living by faith, try and do the right thing, generous, kind, precious to others, and are led by His Holy Spirit, God speaking to us within our hearts. And God speaks to us every day if you simply listen. Amen? Amen. Parables. Jesus spoke in them, gave little illustrations, whether it's seed falling within that good earth. I believe if we simply apply ourselves to form habits, the foreign habits that will bring glory unto His name, I think we will then live that full and abundant life. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, come into Your house, God. Sung praises unto Your name. We've opened Your Word. We've shared from the heart. God, we know that You love us because You love us when we were yet unlovable. We thank You for that. But God, I know also that you put the responsibility back on us of how the choices that we're going to live. You allow us to choose. You give us that freedom, that will that's so precious, that makes us feel alive. And God, encourage us to make our choices, to form habits that will draw us in line closer to You. And Heavenly Father, through it all, You'll see us through every challenge that comes our way, because we know that whatever comes against us cannot overcome us, because we are children of the King. So Heavenly Father, just be with us. Continue to lead us, guide us, direct us. Give us safe traveling mercies as we leave this building today, God. And if there be one that's going through a special challenge, You just show a light and show a way, and let us be extra warm, extra supportive in lifting up that brother or sister in prayer. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said amen and amen. We have a song. What song is that? Oh, let's sing this old hymn.